Is there anybody that's here now that was not here this morning for the morning class? Listen to the recording. But we'll do a little mini review. This morning we discussed the first three verses of Shikshastakam and how they relate to the chanting of the holy name, establishing fundamental principles for chanting and fundamental principles for reaching our goal. So sadhana and sadhya. To summarize in very simple language, one, chant Hare Krishna. So, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Those stages of bhakti encapsulated within the first verse. Chant the holy name with faith. And then, chanting the holy name, one hears and recognizes that I'm being given this enormous favor and mercy. Tava kripa bhagavan mamapi. Krishna's special favor. How fortunate, but how unfortunate that I have no attraction. So overcoming that lack of attraction, the anartha nivritti, the lack of attraction is because there's anarthas, and how to overcome anarthas. The root of those anarthas is inattention. We were using the language not being present. That means being absent. Like, you know, we invite Krishna to come and we hang a sign on our door, out to lunch. Or we don't even hang a sign on the door, we're just out to lunch. We're absent. So we tried some nice practice where Krishna's in front of us and we're chanting. He wants to hear our chanting. We're chanting for his pleasure. That the mood of service connected directly to Krishna. And Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. So Krishna's hearing our chanting of Krishna's name. And that anartha nivritti stage is chant without offense. So we described one mantra at a time as one means of avoiding inattention, avoiding offenses by avoiding inattention. And then we very briefly touched on nishtha. Following anartha nivritti is the stage of nishtha, firm faith. And firm faith, when there is firm faith, it's namashraya, we're taking shelter of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that each of the nine stages of bhakti is but faith. Faith and faith and faith and faith, and just with different names, because of different stages of faith up to prema, which is the mature stage of faith. But it's all the same thing in different stages. So when faith becomes nishtha, there's only one shelter. And we described, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that even in that stage of nishtha, there are still some residual. It's nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Even some abhadras are in some degree still there. Those of you that are from, or next time you visit New York, you'll see there's right next to where the temple is, there was some buildings. There used to be some buildings. And then Mr. Cho, Chinese gentleman, bought the property and got permission for a 5-star Hilton hotel, 12 stories tall, right next to our building. So that, you know, you open up your door and you can reach out and shake hands with the guy who's going to be that close, like in the thing right across from us. But Mr. Cho made a boo-boo. He, you know, in the process of building, they unplugged the telephone. So the Verizon got sued. So Verizon sued Mr. Cho. So they stopped the construction. And they're settling it, however they settle those things. So what he did, it had the big hole in the ground, so he just filled up the hole in the ground with dirt. So I look out my window, and now instead of seeing, you know, the deli on the corner, it's a bunch of dirt. But little things are coming out of the ground. And one of them is a big thing. It's like half a tree already. But it's mostly just dirt. A little, so that's like Nashta Prayeshu. Abhadreshu. There's still little, but it's insignificant. And in the Nishtha stage, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that those Abhadras that are there, they don't prevail. They don't prevail because bhakti is so strong. Bhakti overwhelms them. And that bhakti is faith or namashraya or nishtha. And devotional qualities like humility, pridelessness, tolerance, service, devoid of sense of false prestige, always ready to offer all respect to others without any expectation of respect in return. In fact, you can expect the opposite and be surprised if something comes back that's not the opposite. But not because, you know, then you get some points on your report card, but because it's just your relationship with Krishna. And that's everything. I want to cover, also repeat, 2 points from this morning. One is, I was describing 3 times a principle and the application of that principle of moving from one level of chanting or stage of chanting to the next stage of chanting, or one stage of bhakti to the next stage of bhakti. We have to take shelter of and strength from the resources that Krishna is sending. Krishna sends it from our Adau Shraddha stage. Krishna sends sadhu. We take shelter of sadhu. When we take shelter of sadhu, we take shelter of what sadhus do. Bhajana Kriya. And then when we take shelter of the bhajana kriya of the sadhus, then we take shelter of qualitative performance of that bhajan. And like this shikshastakam, the instructions, or the instructors, or the deity worship form of deity form of the Lord, or Bhagavad Gita, the scripture, or Srimad Bhagavatam, or there's so many ways that Krishna is extending himself to us in the form of representatives of him, or himself in his scripture form. The measure of faith that we have in all of those above will give us the strength and the intelligence and the shakti, the spiritual potency, to go to the next stage. This is a repeat, but it's important. To using the phrase that we used now for the third time, that liminal space. It's nice to have a new word and then you're like, oh, what does that mean? So you define it and then it means something. Liminal space. You know, between where we are and where we want to be. Between outside and inside. Between that sacred space where there's grace and Radha and Krishna and where we are out here and the door's locked. That liminal space between us and what we know and what we're practicing and experiencing. That space, enter into that space. As a measure of the faith and shelter that one has in these resources that Krishna is sending. So I'm picturing a visual image of we're sitting in a boat on the Ganga going on our visit to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place in Sarup Ganj. And there's this, you know, bank to get down to the boat, right, Gulshand? It's like, it's slippery slope. And the more people that walk it, the more muddy it gets and the more slippery it gets. And there's a whole chain of people lined up to help, especially the elder people, to get from that high space down to the boat. There has to be some trust in those persons that they're going to help you get to the boat, not... you know, not do something untoward or themselves slip, but they'll help you get from point A to point B, from where we are to where we want to go, provided we want to go there. So that takes us back to Shikshastakam number one. Jeto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Maha. We want to go there. The desire to approach Krishna once again has been awakened by those glories and receiving. So, proportionate to, you can say it the other way too, the measure of our faith and shelter in those resources will give us the strength to take the next step into that liminal space. The uncharted frontier. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to us because now we have whatever you call those little gizmos, you just hook it up and it tells you where to go. Everything's charted. But supposing there was something you didn't, you know, the waters where sailors would go when it was uncharted. What's out there? They have no idea. And, you know, it's fearful. Or I was, you know, in Seattle not so long ago, and they have, you know, the Lewis and Clark Trail. You know, they didn't know where they were going because it was never charted before, but they were brave and courageous and whatever else they had. So that which is for us experientially what we know is possible, but where we are, there's this, you know, it, uncharted territory. So take the next step fearlessly. It's like our sankalpa of Krishna Smarana was to chant fearlessly. So that where there's full shelter, and the shelter of those resources Krishna is sending us, is that the measure of that faith and shelter we have will help us take that next step. Doable, sustainable next step. The second point that I wanted to reiterate was the converse, and that is whatever we do improperly in this world springs from a deep dissatisfaction within ourselves of our relationship with Krishna. And we can say, well, it's Krishna, not me, it's Krishna. But it's really, go deeper and it's us. There's this split between who we really are and what our real happiness is and our relationship with Krishna. We did it. We turned our back on Krishna. Instead it's Bahirmukh Jeev. And now it's tried to become Samukh Jeev. We're trying to turn our attention again to Krishna. All untoward behaviors and feelings and, you know, all the ugly, nasty stuff of material experience and material existence, it springs from that. And our attempt to go that next step is to mend that relationship, that break that we did. We chose. And so it's reworking that choice. But having made the wrong choice, there's this whole system set up called conditioned life that makes it difficult. So Krishna gives us resources. If we want, Krishna sends resources our way to take this other shelter. It's all an act. It's part of a big Shakespearean drama, or, you know, personal drama of restoring our relationship with Krishna. All the detail is that. And the chanting of the holy name is all to assist us. So that's part of the review. So now going on to the going back. Chant Hare Krishna, number one. Chant without offense by being attentive to the holy name, or take shelter of the holy name. Jiva Goswami says, this act of taking shelter of Krishna, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur called it Sharanagati, but before he called it Sharanagati, Jiva Goswami called it Sharanagati. Sharana is surrender, and agati is going towards surrender. Sharanagati. So Sharanagati, or surrender, or taking shelter of Krishna, Namashraya, Jiva Goswami writes, it awards one with a sense of belonging to Krishna. I was going to spend some time with that phrase, belonging to Krishna, because we've been using the phrase the other way around. Krishna, please accept me. That means, I am your property. Like if you give something to someone, you know, Ganga Narayan, please, this is a gift of a bottle of water, please accept this bottle of water. It's like, you know, it's, you're giving it to Krishna. So we say, please accept me. Krishna, I am yours. And with that surrender, there's a sense, Jiva Goswami says, one is awarded with a sense of belonging to Krishna. Same idea is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Sharanagati songs. In the, those of you that are familiar with Sharanagati, there's six angas or limbs of surrender. And the final one is Atma Nivedana. Atma Nivedana. Full self-surrender. And when there's full self-surrender, you place everything at Krishna's feet. Like Bali Maharaj surrendered to Vamana. He took everything and he surrendered his head. Place your third step on my head. You've already taken everything. Great. Now take me. I am yours. Right? Across the tract of land that he stepped, and it became his. Place your head on my foot on my head. So my body is yours. I am yours. And if everything is surrendered to Krishna, then what can you say is yours? What can we say is ours, even if we don't? Can we say our body is ours? It's taken from us. The possessions that we may have, they're taken from us. What about the soul? Even that's Krishna's energy. We can't even say it's ours. It's Krishna's. So one thing we can say is ours. Our relationship with Krishna is ours. So Krishna, this is the teaching of our acharyas. Surrender means, Krishna, I am yours, and you are mine. Not like an object, like a bottle of water you can put in your pocket and walk down the street with. I got Krishna in my pocket. But our relationship with Krishna, that is ours. And it cannot be taken away by anybody or any circumstance, even Krishna. Of course, he won't want to, but that is what's ours. And the position of surrender is this, we're awarded a sense of belonging. Now, if there's not a sense of belonging to Krishna, but in fact we belong to Krishna, what happens? We look for something else to belong to. Maybe I should belong to this. And some of you were here for the Memorial Weekend Gita Nagari retreat, and you saw on that wall over there the missing piece in the big O. The missing piece was looking to see where he belonged, because he's a missing piece. Maybe here, maybe there. And life is made up of looking to see where we belong. And then we create one. But that doesn't work, and we create another, and that doesn't work, because it's not where we belong. But that sense of shelter by surrender unto the holy name, and thereby unto Krishna, just like the meditation that was done this morning. We're chanting Krishna's name for Krishna's audition, because he wants to hear. So, a very clear sense of belonging and a very clear sense of identity. And minus that, it's spin out. And bluffing and self-deception and trying this and trying that. And it's not just, you know, for a couple of years or for a lifetime. It can go on endlessly, like a bad dream that doesn't end. You have nightmares that just like don't seem to end. I have some like that. They don't end. Then you wake up and you realize it was just a dream. But you feel awful. But you just had this nightmare. So, in the course of life, we'll go back to trying to take shelter. Well, you say the 64 round day tomorrow, or say life, whatever wedge of time you'd like. There's going to be times when we're feeling we're closer. There are times that we're going to feel that we're further away and weak and, like Ananta Shesha said, you know, crying out in the forest, I don't know where I am and which way to go. Sometimes those feelings are there. What to do? In any circumstance, chant. Try to chant without offense. Chant one mantra at a time. Be present with the holy name as much as strength permits one to do that. And take shelter. It's nishtha with faith. And as faith nurtures and consciousness grows, we feel a greater sense of shelter, a greater sense of strength, a greater sense of spiritual progress, and that encourages us to go further. Yeah, one final review point is a comment by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he connects with the point that we made this morning. While picture the outside the Brooklyn Temple from where my vantage point is, just look outside the window and there's this, it looks somewhere between a desert and, you know, somebody made a mistake, a landscaper made a big mistake, just earth with a few little things sticking up, and they're actually just weeds. So some, if one is at the stage of anartha nivritti and striving to come to the steady stage of bhakti, where anarthas are almost destroyed, the state of consciousness is greater, the state of intelligence that Krishna gives to, with that greater consciousness, to recognize what to do, what not to do, the strength to do what to do and to not do what not to do, because it will bring me closer to Krishna, not just because somebody's going to spank me if I don't, but because it'll bring me closer to Krishna. That impetus is even when waves of some difficulty come. Have you noticed that difficulty sometimes comes in waves? I have. And that just when that wave seems to be over, here comes another bigger one. And then, okay, and here comes a bigger one, and just... So whether it's waves of difficulty or it's more calm, one takes shelter of Krishna and his holy name, because that's one's faith. It doesn't matter how big the wave is or how small the wave is. My shelter is Krishna. That's the sign when one has attained the stage of nishtha. Steady. Faith. Okay, so now we're ready for some new stuff, or the next Shikshastakam 4. And Shikshastakam 4, who knows Shikshastakam 4? Nadanam, Najanam, Asandrim, Kavitam, Vajagadisha, Kamahe, Mama Janmani, Janmanishvare, Bhavatad, Paktir, Ahaituki, Twahi. So the aspiration is not just shelter, but it's Ahaituki Bhakti. Note from the earlier discussion. It's just a evolved state of consciousness, evolved state of clarifying your objectives to the next stage. It's taking the resource of intelligence, like this, taking the Shikshastakam verses and nurturing shelter in the holy name, the teachings and the teachers and the... It's the same principle to give us the strength to go the next step. Where the fruit of that is taste. So we spoke something yesterday about taste. That we were using the language of pulling rather than pushing. Being attracted to Krishna rather than trying to push your mind to Krishna. Remember the example of the heifer going into the barn, that little example. So that taste is only available when there's purity or maturity. So there are symptoms of one who has taste. Or conversely, the absence of these symptoms, one can understand there isn't really taste yet. Humility has increased. Consciousness has increased. We have a keener recognition of what are our impurities and our shortcomings. That's increased. The desire to go beyond them, the desire to attain unalloyed bhakti, has increased. And when those desires increase, What does Krishna do? Right in Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada writes what Krishna does. Krishna asks us the question, are you sure you want me? How about a little sense gratification? No, I don't want sense gratification. So sense gratification comes dancing into your living room or into your office or into your face or somewhere. And a little sense gratification. Okay, how about some trouble? Poquito problema. Little problem. Are you sure you want me? You may get trouble. You know what it says what happened to the gopis. They were left brokenhearted. Are you sure you want me? What about some adoration? Some recognition, some nice title, and people will come and praise you. Isn't that nice? No, I don't want that. All right. Then I will give myself to you. But there's that. That's what the verse, Nadanam, Nadjanam, Lasundarim, Kavitam, Ba, Jagadisha, Kamaye. They have only one desire. That shelter. Ahoitaki bhakti, service unto Krishna in any circumstance, any condition. I don't want these other things. So we'll say it the other way around. Same thing the other way around. What prevents us from steadiness? From getting beyond our nartas into the platform of steadiness? Or what's to prevent us from steadiness to having taste? Same answer. This awakened consciousness, the Krishna then dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti. It's very specific and clear. He gives us the intelligence by which we can come to him. And who does he give that intelligence to? To those who will use it properly, because he can give it to someone who won't use it properly and they'll say, no, thank you. I'm out of here. This doesn't take care of what I want. I don't want haituki bhakti, I want mixed bhakti. Like that letter we received the other day. I'm not one of those. I'm not in a haituki bhakti aspirant. So I'm going to now read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes. It's paraphrased a bit, but it's also some direct quotes of his describing this moving from nishtha to ruchi to illuminate the subject. What's the mood of the devotee that's in that liminal space looking at, well, largely anartas have been eradicated, but there's taste over there. I don't yet have taste, and I'd like to have that. But I don't know. The hesitation. So here's the mood of that devotee. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing, describing the thoughts of such a bhakta. What can I say? I'm unfortunate. Humility. I am the lowest criminal. Though I have received the mercy of my spiritual master, I have not understood its proper value. Instead, I have been wandering everywhere. And this way I am wasting my very life, keeping a precious jewel tied in the hem of my cloth. I have been searching for a cracked shell because it is glittering. A piece of glass. I've been searching for a spot of false happiness, between the banks of the river of material engagements. I am not seriously practicing any anga or part of bhakti. For that, I manifest no energy. So deceitful I am. Oh, humility. And we read Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagati's songs, Dainya, there's a number of songs, and he berates himself very strongly. But it's not artificial, it's because their consciousness is higher, they recognize, you know, that with greater clarity than the rest of us do, what impurities are in here. What's holding us back? It's not the problem. It's not out there. There's nobody holding us back. It's in here. What is that deceitfulness? Well, it's the opposite of honesty. You know, it starts with self-deception. And then we deceive others. Parading around like something that we aren't. It's illusion. We stay in illusion. Unless we want to get out of illusion. And there's mercy sent our way, and we recognize that mercy. This Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi. We take shelter of it. So taste is when that, notice it's two stages later, but there's some sense of that same remorse. It's not a despondency, but it's a regret that this, how unfortunate I am. Such is the sense of taste that I lick up acrid, acidic tasting mundane gossip. I love to hear Gramyakata, especially when I hear that someone else is having trouble. And I may say, oh, I'm sad. But inside, I'm thinking, after what that person said to me once, he is lucky. It didn't get any worse. Or he didn't get any worse. So, this is, it's self-deception and it's hypocrisy. Here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs of Dainya, writes about himself. He's describing himself. We could say, oh, that's not Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's just, you know, writing a caricature. But it's also how a person on an advanced stage thinks. I love this type of gossip. To me, it tastes like nectar. But I am apathetic to hear the names, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. How unfortunate I am. When I start to hear about the Lord, suddenly I become very comfortable and fall asleep. And at any opportunity for a vulgar discussion, my ears perk up and I become wide awake. In this way, I have contaminated the assembly of devotees and everything else. Old and aching and bent as I am, what sinful act I have not performed for satisfaction of my insatiable belly. I do not know what type of hell I will have to suffer for all my actions. So, that's part of the mood. It's like, pretty radical, but it's a mood of humility. Notice they're not speaking about anybody outside there. They're speaking about their condition of heart and saying, yuck. Yuck. And I don't like the yuck. In this way, the devotee despairs over his previous state of consciousness and feels disgust for that state of consciousness. And so now we'll go to our chanting of japa. You know, if it's la-di-da-di-da japa, then, you know, one who is approaching the stage of from nishtha to ruchi, they recognize, I don't have taste. So that means they're hankering. Notice, there's this dialectic. Those of you that have a college degree probably know what that term means. You know, it's a tension between this and that. And what, same as the mood of a japa retreat. What we know and what we're experiencing. If we're influenced by the mode of ignorance, we'll go into lamentation. And if we're taking shelter of Krishna, we'll take stronger shelter of Krishna. I need to redouble my effort. And not only redouble my effort, I need mercy. My mercy valve needs to be wide open to receive. It strengthens the receptive mode. This Krishna, please accept me. For me, this is a receptive mode. And, that's our constitutional position. We're not Purusha, we're Prakriti. We're the servant of Krishna. Krishna, please accept me as your servant. We're his servant, but please accept me as your servant, constitutionally. It's not, so we're asking ourselves to accept our position as servant, with submission. And again and again, and again and again, to cultivate that mood of receiving the holy name and the service unto the holy name in the various forms that it takes, whether it's family or work or society or whatever it is that we do. It's service to Krishna in the form of his holy name. So, continuing Bhaktivinoda Thakura, and then I'll end so we can discuss. And then, in a remote place, like a swan, he begins to taste and reverently speak nectarian Krishna Katha. This is the awakening, like a little boop, little beginning. The juice from the fruit of the desire tree of the great Upanishad, Srimad Bhagavatam, which teaches the mystical science of bhakti. He talks constantly with devotees, but excludes any topic not related to Krishna. First, like a curious spectator, then standing closer, then sitting and finally entering into the discussion with full attention, he also takes refuge in the Lord's Dham and fixes himself purely in service. Ignorant people think that he has become mad or crazy. The blissful devotional service performed by the expert devotees is like a dance, and the devotees begin to learn the first steps of that dance. Then his hands being caught by the dance instructors, the one who is teaching him how to dance, the dance of devotional service. So the instructor is Ruchi, or those who have taste. And it's not accessible without purity. At least that stage of purity where nashtaprayeshu, abhadreshu, and how is that attained? Nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtuki. Naishtuki bhakti, or nishtha, is awakened by the hearing and chanting process and serving. So while we're chanting, it's awakening our desire to serve. This is now repeating some points and I'll close. Take that desire to serve tendency and repose it, direct it towards the holy name. That which has very kindly awakened that tendency to serve. And the agents of the holy name, those who are the teachings about the holy name, the teachers of the holy name, and the deity form of the Lord which allows us to properly repose that faith in authorized form to help us with our chanting of the holy name. It's an unfolding. As we heard earlier, from a seed, little sprout, some leaves appear, and gradually the plant matures, and all of the previous stages are present in the successive stages. We just continue to grow in our unfolding of attraction for Krishna, up to at least in our discussion, the taste for chanting. And when taste for chanting is there, even a glimpse of it, it's so nice. Some devotees who have taken shelter of some of these principles, like this, for example, this receiving mode. Several devotees have described recently in their correspondence with me. Their chanting has changed so much. They just want to chant more. Not like, oh, now I finished my chanting, but they want to chant more. Or I can't wait till tomorrow and I can chant my rounds, I can get up early and chant. Nice. Oh, and then the next day, same thing. Oh, then a little valley goes down. Oh. But when there's faith is matured, that's okay too. I'll share this last one. I've said it many times. I hope I don't embarrass Badahari, but last Japa retreat with Badahari when he was here. After the 64 round day, we were staying in the same place at the Institute House. So the next morning on the way to the temple, I was driving the car. So just short conversation and said, how was your 64 round day? In a very grave voice, he said, it was a desert. And I thought I didn't hear him right. A desert maybe? And I said, what do you mean? Dry. You know, like that voice. Dry. And I think, Badahari, dry? Anybody that knows Badahari is like the opposite of dry, whatever that is. You know, a juicy glubjaman, that's Badahari. Dry? And then he continued and said, it was almost all 64 rounds, almost the whole day. He said, maybe the last four rounds was a little different. I thought, wow, Badahari. But then his consciousness was just like it's described here. But that's all right. I learned a lot. And that's just part of strengthening one's faith in the chanting of the holy name. His faith wasn't shaken at all. Not at all. He didn't. You know, he wasn't moaning and groaning and complaining, and there's other words for that. He wasn't doing any of that. He was just, I asked, he was sharing. And when he sat down to have kirtan, it was the glubjaman kirtan of Badahari. Just, you know, very, very juicy, very, very nectarian. So, whatever the position is that we're in, chant. And our chanting should be for purity, not so we can get some taste, but taste will come when there's purity. Let our hearts become pure. And our service and our respect of other Vaishnavas and shelter of the scripture and worship of the deity and taking care of the farm and milking the cows and etc. You know, whatever thing is wherever we are. Let that be with purity in service to Krishna through the medium of the chanting of the holy name. Okay, so we have some time. Stop and see if there's any questions or things you'd like to discuss. We didn't have time from this morning, so have some time now. Yes? Look at this, you've got a microphone.
Here we can understand the kind of difficulties that come as a test to the devotee. What kind of test will come in the spiritual world? Because it's a dynamic relationship.
Sure. Stay tuned, huh? Well, there's different kinds of tests, like, you know, feelings of separation. Prabhupada described that that feeling of separation is so strong that when the gopis, after separation, meet with Krishna, even as they're meeting with Krishna, they're in anxiety. Krishna may leave. It's only a matter of time. And then we'll feel separation again. Separation feeling is even there in meeting. Now, one can look at that as a test. But in another sense, one can look at it as an impetus for ecstasy. So the tests are impetuses for ecstasy. It's not a test for purity. It's just churning the varieties of exchange with Krishna. Those kinds of tests. There's nothing internal that's testing. There's nothing external that's testing because of something impure inside. Now, if there's something external, it's just to help us understand what's inside that's impure. And because otherwise it's just here's a service and there's a service and another service. Like a nice example, Mother Jasoda, she's churning butter for Krishna because Krishna is stealing butter at the other family's homes, so she's making butter herself. Now Krishna comes and he wants to be fed. So she stops one thing to do to feed Krishna. But then the milk is boiling over, so she has a problem. She has a test. And so she does with thoughtfulness. She puts Krishna down because if the milk boils over into the stove, that's spoiled, but she can come back and feed Krishna. Then Krishna's still there. Krishna didn't want that. So Krishna threw a tantrum. And so on. So there's tests. Krishna and Balaram, when they were little boys, they would go into the pasturing ground and grab the tail of the calves. And when they would pull the tail of the calves would run. They were startled. And they'd be running around the pasturing ground and Krishna and Balaram having a great time. Ooh, this is a nice ride. But the elder gopis, they would see Krishna in the field with the calves, and they had a test of anxiety. Poor Krishna. Danger might come. Run after the calves, and Krishna had even more fun. The calves would run and run away from the gopis, and they'd have a faster ride. A different tests. But it's just varieties of happiness for Krishna. Anything else? Okay, all the way in the back. You want to change?
Mother, I have a question from yesterday's class, if I may ask.
Sure.
You were mentioning that we have the tendency for service and we have to apply that in chanting the holy name.
Yeah.
And I was trying to meditate on that and apply it. I want to share my understanding and seek clarification. So, while chanting, the mind goes to various other things, the senses are in contact, and my attention goes to all those things. And my understanding was, by putting attention to those, to my, where my mind goes, I'm serving my senses in the mind.
Yeah, that's right.
And by putting my attention to the holy name, that's the form of serving the holy name.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also meant something else. In addition, I was speaking about specifically persons who are chanters, and because of chanting, their desire for service grows. I'm thinking of a few individuals in particular that are very service-minded. So service-minded that they neglect that very activity which gave rise to their service awakening. So, in that case, the application is that desire for service should go to the chanting of the holy name. So, the time for each thing. When chanting, it's chanting. When serving, it's serving flowing out of the chanting of the holy name, but one should not neglect the chanting of the holy name and just fill up one's day and time with service, because that is also service. This meditation this morning was a very nice way of illustrating that. Anything else? In the back?
You were talking about the prayers of the Acharya and how they, when they pray, they come from a place of humility. And I was thinking that many times I have the same words to say about myself, but it doesn't come from a place of humility, but it comes more from a place of either feeling shame or conditioning that is brought about through growing up, where you're looked down upon, or you know, that's the way. So, and I've educated myself to look at myself like that. So I know I'm not coming from a place of humility, but more from a place of either
shame. You said shame.
And you know, kind of looking down on myself. So how do I move from this? And I know that this is a very
material platform. So. Well, I'll say a few things. Movement is gradual. If it's real, it's gradual. If it's not gradual, it's most likely not real. Like, you know, imaginary or something of the mind, wishful thinking, but not sustainable. So gradual is good. A second comment is, it has to do with the modes of nature. Such recognition under the mode of ignorance leads to what you described, like, you know, self-destruction or lamentation, moroseness, and so on, mode of ignorance. So, mode of goodness is where there's light. And so through the light, now I see the way. So, Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Don't go to the darkness, go to the light. The contrast. So see the contrast, not just the unwanted, see the wanted. Because where there's humility, then you know, one of my God brothers uses this phrase all the time. In a desert, even a castor plant looks like a tree. Now, I don't know what a castor plant looks like, but I can understand it's small. And that looks like a tree in a desert because there's no trees. So, when we don't have light, then darkness is all that we can see. So it's looked to light. Cultivate or train yourself to hear about persons that are humble, like our awesome disciplic succession. How they're humble, at the same time, there's so much light. So, and in general, frame your life in that quality of goodness. Aside from, you know, what you see inside, frame your life. Like regulation, cleanliness, speaking pleasingly, etc. Cultivation of the qualities of goodness. So as your life is framed in goodness, that influence of ignorance will be less. And so it's not that therefore automatically those things are gone, but you'll see them in a different way because of the mode of nature that's influencing you more predominantly. Stay regulated in your habits, etc. All the things that are goodness. Strive like that. Even striving like that will help. The very fact that you've shared before, so it means that you're aware that there's a tendency, and there was some discussion like this earlier where there's a tendency that I, Jamuna Jivana's question, there's a tendency that I don't like within me. But it's tenacious, it's stubborn, it stays. So the same answer that I gave to him you can apply. Listen again to that same dialogue. Two other quick things. One of them is, a little bit go to the light, but be receptive to the mercy that Krishna is sending into your life. So whatever you aren't, Krishna loves you and is demonstrating it by sending, if those resources, that kindness, that loving extension that Krishna is sending into your life, you close them off, then it'll certainly be dark. But don't do that. Open to that mercy that Krishna is giving, because he loves you and others love you, and that's whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever your condition is. Like a little baby. A little baby screams and makes messes and passes and, yuck. But mother loves a little baby. She doesn't go yuck. She just loves that little baby. That's her maternal love. And Krishna has his transcendental love. He knows our condition. It hasn't changed his condition of love for us. And accept that. And once again, in the form of the ways that Krishna is extending. If I can't recognize directly, I can recognize through the agents of what Krishna is sending into my life. And accept it very warmly. And it changes the whole situation. Certainly how you look at, how you look upon those things that need some attention. You'll look at with higher consciousness. All right? Anyone else? Up front, up here, Nilesh.
Guru Maharaj, can you describe how does one's relationship with spiritual master helps one to, cultivate higher stages of humility and taste for the holiness?
I thought that's what Krishna Smarana spoke about this morning.
That's the next one.
Huh?
That's the next one.
Oh, thank you for that nice question. It will be addressed this afternoon. I think we'll end on that note. Srila Prabhupada Gita.
Srila Prabhupada Gita.